Hi, my name is Marvis Vianes. I work in Foundations of Software Engineering Group in the research and software engineering area. And in particular, I work on automata-based methods to deal with analysis of string manipulating programs. Mm-hmm. So I've also heard that you work on sort of string manipulating programs.
Oh, yes. Well, my name is David Molnar. I work in the Security and Privacy Group inside the Systems and Networking Research area, and we're very interested in web security. And so, well, in our case, we have to build these string manipulating programs we call sanitizers. To give you an example, a website might have a form field where people can type in data which will be shown to other people later. Like the bulletin board, right? I type something, and your web browser is going to see that. Now, unfortunately, if I type JavaScript and the bulletin board doesn't do anything special, that JavaScript will get echoed out, your browser will see it and say, okay, I'll run that. And I'll get to make your web browser do whatever I want. That's great, except it's not. So I'm trying to write a program that finds like all these sort of corner cases and JavaScript and fun things like that. But people keep coming to me with these crazy, like weird corner cases I didn't even think about. And I can't even get things to work right half the time. And I have to write all in JavaScript because I want it to run fast on the web browser itself. And I'm having a terrible time. Well, do you have anything that can help me with that?
Yeah, there is actually a language called Beck. Mm-hmm. And the idea there is that you can iterate over single characters in a string and just forget about efficiency at this point. Just think about logically what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So you can remember what you've seen with Boolean variables. Mm-hmm. And then you can, at points when you think you need to output something, you just yield that character. And it will create an output string corresponding to the input string. And essentially, it is like a small automaton inside. It creates different states and outputs characters. But the point is that you can remember things and output things.
Oh, that sounds really great. Where can I try this? Where can I get started with this?
Yeah, it's actually on the web. It's one of the cool RISE tools on the RISE for Fun web.
Nice.
Called Beck.
Well, let's take a look at it. Okay, so I go over here, RISE for Fun. Oh, yeah, okay, so I can get started, and I see I have a program, and I just want to sanitize. And this is just a very simple example. I won't go into everything I need to do. But I just write this iter. I take every character in a string, and I want to know if, and I start with some Boolean variable, and I see is it false or not, and I have all these cases, so these cases do different things. And then I guess I have this button down here where I can ask Beck to do something for me, so I'll push this button, and what happens? It comes up, and what are we doing here? Let's see, do that, boom, boom, boom. It visualizes the results and it tells me, oh, weird, okay. What do I have here? What is this output I'm looking at, Marcus?
So here you have two things. First, in the comments it says that this sanitizer actually is not idempotent. Probably not a good thing, I don't know. And then it gives a counterexample that says that when you input a slash fallback quote, you actually put something weird out there. You put a quote and then a slash again. I wonder if that's what you actually meant. And it also says that it's not reversible, which probably it shouldn't be. And then below you see that it generated JavaScript.
So it actually makes JavaScript for me. I can just cut and paste this into my application.
But probably not a good idea to do it right now because I don't think it does the right thing. And there is also, if you scroll down, you see a graph generated here. You see. So if you're probably here trying to detect whether you've seen already something being escaped, then it should at least have two states.
Oh, you're right. So there's no way with just one state it could possibly remember if it's already seen one of these slashes. So let's see. Let's go back up and take a look at this. So I have these case statements, and the case statements tell me what happens when each time I see a character. So this first one says if this thing is false and I see a slash or another slash. Oh, I see. I probably want to have something where I add an extra thing, where I change the value of this Boolean variable. So I get like B gets, not B or something like that. Let's see if that makes any difference in the way we write our Beck program and what kind of output we get. Oh, okay.
Actually, now the graph seems to kind of make sense, but. Are you expecting this sanitizer to be, if you apply twice, it shouldn't matter, right?
Yeah, if I apply it twice, it should already have escaped everything it saw before. Why? What's wrong?
Well, it says here that it's not idempotent, that it means that if you apply it twice, then that's not true. So what you can do is, you can just cut and paste the iteration, paste it after the first iteration, then we get the effect of running the program twice.
Oh, sure, okay.
And see if we get the same kind of graph or not. If we don't, there must be something wrong somewhere.
Okay, well, let me just go ahead and do that. I'll declare a new string variable up here, string w, and I can just write another iteration statement that sort of says I want to iterate over everything in w. I want w to be the result of iterating over everything in the string s, that's the result of this first one,
yeah.
And then everything is just the same as before.
And then you just return w.
Yeah, yes, of course, I return w. If I returned s, that would be silly.
Let's see what happens now.
Well, it still says it's not idempotent, and we scroll down, and we've got all this good JavaScript, which I can cut and paste. And I've got that's interesting. Maybe I changed something here, or didn't quite get the right thing here.
Maybe we can cut this point and continue what we do get.
I'll just go on.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Well, this W is an iteration of all strings in S, and
This looks... Let's look at the graph again, because it looks kind of weird there.
Yeah.
Because you're outputting two slashes here.
Wow, that's not good at all.
And that really indicates... some problem, because you probably don't mean that.
No, I really don't. Well, let's go back and take a look at this graph up here and say, oh, well, let's see, I'm supposed to be yielding... I think I know what I need to do. I need to yield a character here. If my input is a double slash, then I need to... So let's think through this. This says if I start with this thing false and I see a single slash, or a slash followed by a quote, then I...
You should probably first then output the slash, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I probably should. So I had those two things backwards. Huh, that's bad. And I should do this on the second iteration, too.
I think so.
Yes, okay, that sounds great. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, great, okay.
So that probably starts looking more like
what
you had in mind. Let's see if the graph also makes sense.
Right, that makes sense. And I need to get rid of this b not equal to b, because that's in the same case statement as the other one. So I think I need to move that down to here, and I need to move this to after the slash.
Okay,
good. And I ask Beck again, what is it doing?
It's computing the analysis, the idempotency analysis, as well as drawing the graph for this now changed and again composed program.
Right. Oh, wow. So now I have a completely new program here. And I can see that there's all these different cases for sort of transitioning between these different states.
Yep. And in fact, looks still a bit weird.
Yeah, it sure does.
Because at some point here in this state, you're outputting two slashes. So maybe at this point, we should go back and try to remove the second iteration and revisit the first program.
Yeah, I think that's a good
because
good,
we have
good sense.
We're now, I think, inserted multiple bugs in this unknowingly.
But the nice thing is we can actually tell when the bugs show up, because we just take a look at the program and we say, oh, this makes no sense. Whereas before, I would actually deploy this, and some poor soul would have to deal with it later.
Okay, let's see what happens now.
Well, it says it's idempotent and not reversible now.
That kind of makes sense. So let's see what the graph looks like.
Oh, now, okay, let's see. So I come in, and this says if I see a slash, I output the character.
Which is the slash itself.
The slash itself, and then I just keep stay there until... Anything I see, I just output the character, and then if I see a something character here, and it's not a quote, and not a double quote, then I yeah, I output the character in the slash. That's what I want. That's good.
Yeah, I think you actually figured out the right program now.
Oh, that's great. And I could just tell at the glance just by looking at all of this these little graphs here.
Yeah.
What I did right. And it's really fast. You know, it's really great the way I can sort of change my program and get immediate feedback on what this looked like.
So I can tell you briefly what it looks like, sort of in a high-level view, what actually went on.
I'd love to hear that. Please, yeah, Marcus.
Just let me just draw a couple of bullets here. So we started with a back program. And from that, we then generate an eternal representation in form of so-called finite transducers. These are essentially automata with input-output behavior. And that provides sort of an eternal representation for analysis as well as visualization. And then we can use this information here to do code generation. And in that point, at that point, we can sort of take advantage of various knowledge, you know, about this transformation and optimizations we've done here, for example, to generate JavaScript that you saw. That you can, after you've analyzed, cut and paste, and it will perform as you expect it to perform. Or you can generate C# or C. The list goes on here. And but before doing that, what you also saw was analysis. And in this particular case, we saw counterexamples. And the counterexample showed input strings that showed violation of, for example, idempotency, which means that if you apply twice, it matters, but it shouldn't matter. And we also saw analysis via visualization, which generated actually in Visual Studio, it can actually generate DGML format, and here we generated a format that is used by our own automated graph layout engine. So I think that's sort of the big picture behind what we just demoed. Mm-hmm. So if you want to try it out, just go and visit Rise for Fun.
That's right. Well, thanks very much, Mark. This is really going to help me build better sanitizers, and I hope help everyone at home build better sanitizers, and you can try it right out at Rise for Fun.
Yes.